Welcome to Caritals. This is Wendy.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, stop worrying about job security.
The questions this cast answers are, why is financial security better than job security? How do I start saving 18 months of expenses? And how does savings make me better at my job?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Are you a manager who wants to get better fast? Join Manager Tools in Portland this August for our public two-day event. You'll learn the practical tools that help top managers every day. One-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. No fluff, no theory, just what works. Thousands of managers around the world have transformed teams using these tools. Now it's your turn. Register at manager-tools.com/training.
The title of this podcast is a little bit clickbaity, I guess. Stop worrying about job security. And it really does sound kind of crazy because that's one of the things that we do all worry about. But of course it isn't, because if you think about it a little bit further, what you actually want is financial security. Like, it wouldn't matter if you lost your job as long as you could pay all your bills. If you inherited a whole bunch of money and you knew that you would be able to pay your bills and have a life for the rest of your life, you would not care that you just lost your job.
Correct.
You know, what we want to do is be able to pay our bills and save for retirement and send our kids to college. And most of us would say, if I could have financial security and not have to work, I'd be okay with that. But if we tell you, you could have job security without financial security, like you'll always have a job, but they won't always pay you, most of us wouldn't want that. What we think we want is not actually what we want. And so potentially what we've been working towards is the wrong thing. So in today's cast, we're going to talk about why, some more about that, and how to work towards the right thing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to reorient our focus. And then once we do that, what should we do? So today we're going to cover four things. First, reframe job security into financial security. Second, downsize before you're forced to. Three, cut unnecessary spending. And finally, and fourth, build an 18-month financial cushion. Okay, we're going to reframe, right? If you're not familiar, and you might have some familiarity, but let's talk about reframing. It's a psychological term, which really just means changing your perspective on a situation. It's used to help us move from negative to more positive or neutral interpretations of a situation. Simple example, you're stuck in traffic on the way home from picking your kids up from school. You can see this as a frustrating waste of your time, which makes you late for the rest of your day. You could blame the person who's in charge of the roads and the construction on I-35, which seems never ending. You can generally really get yourself really worked up, or you could try and think of it as a time you're getting to spend undistracted with your child. Many parents of children who have now left home will tell you those commute conversations are something that they miss. And some of those children might mention that too. If, like, someday in the future, you might miss having these conversations, it could be worth being present at the time, even as frustrating as I-35 may be. And also, both Wendy and I live on I-35, so we know.
Yes.
When you're stuck in that construction zone, it can take like a good deal of willpower to move from extreme frustration to connecting with your kid. And if you're not in the situation, right, if you're removed from it and you think it through unemotionally, you can probably see that the second option of talking to your kid, talking to your child, and not focusing on how frustrating things are is better for you, better for your mental health, better for your relationship with your child. And okay, we know it doesn't mean that we can erase all of your frustration the next time you're stuck in traffic. And we do hope that it means that your brain can take advantage of this alternative frame in which to see the picture. And we hope that this conversation makes it easier for you to achieve that.
Yeah. Psychologists say that the thoughts that we have repeatedly are like grooves. They wear grooves in our brain. I don't think this is physically true, but if you imagine it, they wear grooves in our brain. And so if you can have another groove, like I'm jumping out of this groove of being frustrated and jumping into the groove of appreciating time with my child, you can't do it always. If you know another groove is there and you can sometimes jump into it, it will start to get deeper and then it will be easier, is what they say. I mean, like, none of us are psychologically perfect too, but we're just giving you the suggestion. And then we're going to translate that to this thing about job security in a second.
Right. That the idea of the groove, I think, is so helpful because it helps me imagine that there's like a track in my brain for the thoughts. And so if I can create different tracks, then the older tracks won't get used as much.
They just start to fill in with dirt.
Yeah. They consistently start to utilize the positive tracks in my brain, which we can also do with our idea of security, right?
Yeah, for most of us, we've always considered job security the goal. Certainly when I grew up, my dad started working for British Airways when he was 15 and a half, and he left when he was 65. And, you know, all through the time that I was aware at home, his focus was staying in that job, not necessarily enjoying it, or not necessarily having the best pay, or not having the best perks, or not necessarily having the best coworker or whatever, but the staying there and keeping that job was important.
I could see that making it important for you, just having the thought that job security is retaining that particular position forever.
Exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he did different jobs in the same company, but he did them for long times, you know? So many of us stay in less than ideal roles or in career paths that we've outgrown or that we never should have been in the first place because we know we get the paycheck at the end of the month and that we need that to pay the mortgage and the electricity bill and put food on the table and buy ourselves a little treat. Then, according to the research I did, the number of people living paycheck to paycheck, meaning they need the next paycheck in order to pay for necessities and don't have any savings, varies from survey to survey, right? But it varies from 26% to 95%, which just goes to show they're all counting it differently. But it's not zero.
And it's a lot, regardless.
It is. And to some extent, how many other people are living paycheck to paycheck is irrelevant because the stress of it, if that's where you are, the stress of it is in your life.
Absolutely. It is something that is so common and so stressful. So stressful. So if we're thinking about job security, the negative them, we're relying on job security, the negatives are obvious. Jobs aren't secure. In fact, Mark, one of our co-founders, recently suggested that for the first time in recent history, the security of working for a company and being an entrepreneur are roughly the same. We're in a time when things just aren't as secure as they used to be. Recent statistics about young people joining family firms rather than striking out on their own may be a trend that recognizes this reality. We see a lot of that now. And there are a lot more small businesses out there, and those are holding out for longer and are the new companies that are being formed are exploding.
Right. I mean, to some extent, if the security is the same, why not rely on your own chutzpah, as it were, than work for someone else and deal with all the drama that brings?
Yeah. And the good news is we can level that playing field with this guidance too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just with the circumstances.
And of course, relying on your job for your finances, if that paycheck has to come at the end of the month in order for you to pay your mortgage, gives your whole life a single point of failure.
Yeah. How scary.
Yeah. Your success may depend on factors beyond your own performance, like office politics. And for the number of people that say that that's how their company decides whether or not their paycheck keeps up with inflation, that's a scary point of failure. And insecurity can create chronic stress and anxiety, even if you're employed in a job. And all of people who are employed in traditional companies are the ones that seem to struggle most during a recession because their job is dictated to by what's good for the entirety of the company, not what's good for them as a single person.
It's really hard too when there's a lot of talk in the world about instability and layoffs and all these things, and you hear this constantly, especially if you consume news, you might hear these things. And even if your company is not necessarily in that position, your spouses might be, your partners might be. And so you hear all these things, and it does then add to your stress. And we see this a lot in offices, people talking about layoffs coming or all these things. And it really is affected sometimes not by reality, sometimes simply by people's mental state at the time. And you can, using the guidance that we're going to give you, break free of that mindset, because you won't have to be thinking then about your worry. You'll be able to say to yourself, oh, but for myself, if those things were to happen, my family could survive for X amount of time. So if that's all happening to you, we understand that most of us ignore all of this, like, in order to get through the day. In fact, okay, we might have just accidentally put you into the
I'm too stressed to listen to this.
Yeah, like the groove, the wrong mind groove. However, if we can recognize our negative reaction to traffic and reframe it for a positive outcome, then we can also do the same thing to our idea of security. So reframing job security to financial security then gives us another way to look at our actions and also opens us up to new actions that we could be taking. And action is the antidote to anxiety. So it's really just the thing we need in these or any uncertain times.
So that, just like shifting your idea in the traffic gives you peace in the moment, reframing security can help you make wiser, calmer decisions now before you're in a crisis. And I don't think it's in the show notes, but it just occurred to me. One of the things you tend to do, I tend to do, when I'm stressed and anxious is buy things. And if I'm stressed and anxious about my financial security, I buy more things, which makes my financial security worse. So we have to be in the calm frame of mind that says, this action is not the action to take, like not working from emotion. So first piece of guidance, downsize your lifestyle before you need to. So let's just imagine the worst. You're unemployed, you have no money coming in. And at that point, you have no choices. You can't cut Starbucks and save the difference, because there is no difference. You don't have any Starbucks money. You can't live below your means when you have no means. And the worst for most of us is really scary. And a lot of us avoid the uncomfortable thought by making another purchase.
To your point.
Yeah. So instead, we can reframe that thought too. I'm scared of not having any financial safety net. Fear is a signal, which means I value security, stability, and choice. And that awareness can guide smarter decisions while I still have control. And then instead of spending $5 or $10 in Starbucks, I can put that money in my savings account, which will give me that secure feeling.
Yeah. So we're recommending that you start doing this before you're at that point. So start now. Essentially, we talked about this, I think, last week. We said the best time to plant a tree is either 100 years ago or yesterday, today. So let's start today. And the first thing is, we're going to recommend you cut unnecessary spending. You've likely heard this from us before. I did a big podcast on this during the pandemic. We're not suggesting that it's necessary to go that deep. That was a situation that was far more dire than this one. And by this one, I mean your current situation, since we are not currently in the middle of a global pandemic. So we're going to recommend you cut unnecessary job spending, because if we say we want job security, and that's us mentally trying to control the source of the income, which gives us what we really want, financial security, then we need to ask ourselves, how do we get to financial security irrespective of our job security? And there are some things you can do. The first, well, I think overall, it's kind of global, right? It's known to everyone that one way to do this is to live small. One big thing to do is look at where your money's going, which a lot of people don't do. I was talking to somebody this week. We were both sad that the service mint.com had been discontinued because of all of its pretty charts and graphs and things like that. And I used to use it very heavily to see where my money was going, because even for things like subscriptions. That's a big one right now for people. You have all these subscriptions you don't know about. There's a lot of services out there too that will monitor your subscriptions and help you get rid of them. But our usual advice, you know, from the past also includes like cutting your bills now while you have a job. Don't buy the most expensive car you can afford. Buy the least expensive, reliable car possible. For example, trucks have been in high demand for the past 30 years, so they're expensive. And also, the gas mileage is terrible. And I
Especially when you're stuck on the traffic on the
S35. Oh my gosh. So true. Don't buy a truck. Buy a reliable sedan, like a Honda or a small SUV. I just bought a Ford Focus. No, that's not it. It's a different kind. I don't know what my car is.
Has it got four wheels and it gets you from A to B?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. And Gary has a truck. So, you know, I know the difference between the two. So we recommend you lower your payment, lower your insurance, lower your gas bill, all of these things by buying a more reliable, smaller car instead of the big fancy bells and whistles, cool guy car.
TV streaming options. The thing about cutting cable was it was going to save you money. And now we all pay for like 15 different streaming options. And you can rotate them, don't tell anyone, and they'll offer you a month free or 2 months free or a pause. So you can do that. But you can also cut them all if you need to. You might miss some movies right now, but you'll see them sooner or later on some free service. Your life is not made better by all the TV you watch.
Definitely. And you can look into TV packages now, offer a lot of the streaming services for free. So you might be able to get something like that. It's kind of a shop around situation in a lot of cases. Also, merge your accounts. If you and your partner, spouse, somebody you live with has the same account as you, Gary and I both had an Amazon account. But now, that was only for like a year, you know, at the beginning. And then I said, look, we need to merge this. You can get a household account and you can do the same for a lot of other streaming services. You can make your own coffee for like a dollar a pot, which is maybe what, 4 to 6 cups, depending. Don't go to Starbucks for your $4 a cup coffee. Maybe Starbucks can be a treat. We could try not eating out. Food that you buy at the grocery store is much less expensive. And there's so much good food guidance out there on social media. And I'm not trying to promote social media, y'all. And there is so much out there about cooking delicious things for low cost and grocery hauls and all those things. So that's one way to do that. I follow somebody who does $2 a serving meals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's great.
That involves cooking.
It does involve cooking. There is some question here about like how much
are you time to put in.
But if you're not watching TV.
That's true. That is true. If I wasn't watching TV, maybe I'd have know that I still wouldn't want to cook. So
yeah.
We dare you to go to your bank website and search for Starbucks and see how much you spent there in the last year. And it's not that I don't have, we have something against Starbucks. Your vice might be Amazon. How many of us have had a parcel arrive on the doorstep from Amazon and gone, I don't remember what I ordered? Nope. Just me? Okay.
Nope, not just you.
You know, I use YNAB, it's YNAB.com. It's the same as Mint. It's a different one. You can get a report and then sort it so that it tells you who you spent the most money with in a year once you've put the data in. And fortunately, my most money is my mortgage, but I can tell you Starbucks is scarily up there. So, but here's the thing. The usual advice is usual because it works and you might be tempted to ignore it because you're saving or because it's your only treat in your already frugal lifestyle. But if you're going to achieve our next suggestion, you at least need to consider it.
Do you like saving money? If you do, you should become a career tools, manager tools, or executive tools licensee. All of our licenses come with a 30-day no-risk free trial and discounts from anywhere from $50 to $150 that can be used for other products and training. Get your license today by visiting manager-tools.com/licenses. What we recommend that you do is build your cushion to 18 months of living expenses. We used to say save 6 months of living expenses, but the decrease in job security has honestly caused us to increase our months recommended. 18 months is a lot for most people. We know, we understand. And if you're at a certain level and that's as good as you can do, great, good job. If you have anything saved, any number of months saved, well done. In order to do this, we recommend you start with the kind of aggressive expense cutting that the usual sources would suggest. This is in order to build up your nest egg quickly. People like Dave Ramsey, other guidance out there on cost cutting and savings are all very useful. And I would suggest, having gone through a series of those, choosing one will help. You don't have to, I'm not going to go into the different, a lot of people are less about Dave Ramsey nowadays, which is fine.
If you want to pick somebody else,
that's cool.
Who you choose, as long as you're making some choices.
Yeah.
And when you've got 18 months spending, then you can introduce other things. So that we're talking about like a short-term frugality challenge, I guess, until you've got 18 months savings, rather than thinking it's never going to happen to me and then wishing you had done it.
Yeah. This is old guidance. And by that, we mean classic, forever, that kind of thing, right? Because there's a fictional character, I can't remember, in Charles Dickens' 1850 novel, David Copperfield, right? What's the guy's name again?
Mr. Micawber.
Okay. So he says annual income, £20, annual expenditure, 19, 19, and 6, result, happiness. Annual income, £20, annual expenditure, £20, not 6, result, misery.
Yeah. For those of you who don't read pre-decimalization English money, here's what he's saying. If you earn $20 and you spend $19.96, you'll have happiness because you're living within your means and saving a little. But if you earn $20 and you spend $20.06, you're spending more than you earn and going into debt. And the difference in the happiness and misery in his example is just like 10 cents. I did the calculation. And it just highlights how, like, even a tiny bit of overspending can lead to financial stress, whereas living slightly below your means can provide peace of mind and security.
Did I tell you that I, during the pandemic, was taking an economics course on edX? I have a thing about economics. I really love it. In another life, I might have been an economist. And unfortunately, the class I signed up for on edX was from the London School of Economics. And I will tell you something. Learning economics in a currency that is not your currency is straight up impossible. I honestly struggled so much. The ideas made total sense to me. The examples made zero sense. It was so difficult. So I wouldn't recommend anybody, you know, converting it constantly. Your brain just tries to convert it. It doesn't work. Okay. Back to our actual content. In the initial building phase, our kind of frugality challenge, all the money you can save makes a difference. But once you have the cushion, you have more choices. You could choose not to reinstate your $200 a month gym membership and keep Starbucks. Our friend Maggie Tucker's guidance on the Friends on Fire podcast is to decide what you care about and spend your discretionary money on that. And by the way, y'all, FIRE stands for Financial Independence Retire Early, and it's a big movement, and people live, in a lot of cases, very small in order to achieve it. And the stories, the ideas are really cool, really exciting if you're into that kind of thing, and inspiring around people making changes. Now, having said that, financial security isn't just about minimalism. It's about intentional spending. It's about conscious choices. The goal is not deprivation. It's eliminating thoughtless consumption while preserving what you truly enjoy and enhances your life.
And we'll recognize that not everybody has streaming services to cut or a Starbucks habit to change. If you're already living frugally out of necessity, then your path to financial security may involve different strategies. The key is not to have your head in the sand and to be dealing with the fact that financial security and job security are so low right now by just ignoring it and pretending it's going to go away. Because I have noticed in my life that doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Our friend Maggie Tucker also told us that the hidden career advantage of building that financial cushion is solid gold. Beyond the obvious security, if you lose your job, or the idea just here of improvement of your mental well-being, the safety net changes how you show up at work, when you know you could walk away from your job tomorrow and still be financially secure for over a year, it changes your entire professional presence. Your ability to be authentic in your professionalism because you're not driven by financial fears provides a significant career boost. Surely that's worth missing one or two Starbucks or the first run of your favorite movie franchise.
I hope so. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week. We cover a new topic. Bye, everyone.